Well, good morning. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you again for just the gift of your love and salvation in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for that's the reason in which we gather this morning to give worship and praise to you. Lord, we thank you for everything we have to look forward to, even in the hopeless world in which we live. We thank you for that the last chapter is written, and we can be confident, Lord, in what our destiny is for those of us that know you. And yet, Lord, in the meantime, I pray that you would continue to sanctify us, help us to look more like you, so that our world can see more clearly who you are. And I pray, Lord, as we open your word again today, that you would help us to see and hear and listen, to understand your word clearly, so that we might apply it appropriately in our lives. Again, to honor you, help us to do that. Help us to respond in a way that would be obedient and glorifying to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, if you've been part of Rothbury Community Church family, really for any length of time, I think you will know that we don't preach on money unless we come to a passage that actually addresses the topic of money, and this morning we find ourselves in that place. When you read through Proverbs, and I hope many of you have, if you haven't read through Proverbs consecutively, I would encourage you to do that. Just read a chapter a day, and if you do that, you'll be done with the entire book over the period of 1 month, as there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. But there's so much in Proverbs. And I think one of the things that you'll find as you read through Proverbs is that the subject of money is a mega theme. It is a huge topic. There are not just a few verses dealing with money. There is a massive amount of verses that address this important subject, which Solomon believed was vital to teach to his son. And I think it's a subject that's important for all of us as well, because we all need money, right? We all deal with money. We all deal with the various temptations that come with money. We all are trying to make decisions as to how we should use and spend our money. It's just part of life for all of us. And it's interesting, too. It's not just in Proverbs, but one side note just to make here is that 15% of everything Jesus said in the Gospels had to do with money. Okay, so money is obviously a big, big subject in the Bible, and it's not by accident that it's that way. We all need wisdom when it comes to our money, because I think if we're all honest with ourselves, we all struggle in various ways in terms of how we view money and how we handle our money and how we handle it biblically. It's an area of great contention for people and stress in marriages. A lot of divorce happens because of money. It's an area where a lot of people are trapped and enslaved and really don't know how to handle their money very well, or maybe they don't even know a whole lot as to what the Bible says about money. Well, I would just say no matter what season of life that you're in, no matter how much money you have or the lack of, I think we can all learn something from the scriptures in regard to this important subject. And you may hear that and say, well, hey, I don't really need to know more about money. I just need more of the money. That would work just fine. Like okay, well, I'm sure none of us would refuse a little bit more money, but I would also say that the truth is we all need probably more wisdom as it relates to the money we already have versus having more money. Because if we have money and it is not accompanied by wisdom, then we're going to be foolish with our money in terms of how we're managing it. And I think what we'll also find is that we'll be frustrated no matter what the financial situation we find ourselves in. There is a godly way to handle money, and there is an ungodly way to handle money. And Solomon, who was the wealthiest man who ever lived, had a few things to say about this important subject in the book of Proverbs, and obviously gives us some important biblical counsel when it comes to our money. So I've broken it down into four major categories. There's going to be a number of subcategories that you're not going to see on the outline, and you can just write them down as you see fit. Let's look, first of all, at wisdom's perspective on money. Wisdom's perspective on money. And I want to begin with this verse, Proverbs 15, verse 16. Now, I'm going to give you about 40 verses today, okay? So if you can't keep up with me, that's probably why you're not going to be able to keep up with me. And I'm only putting a dent in it. There's a lot more verses in Proverbs dealing with the subject. But let's begin with Proverbs 15, verse 16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. In other words, your relationship with God is exceedingly more valuable than any amount of money. Okay? And I think for obvious reasons. Money is temporary, God is eternal. Money comes and goes, but God will always be there. Money can't give us peace when the storm comes. It can't comfort us when there is loss, but God can. Money can't forgive our sin or buy us a ticket to heaven, but God can provide those things for us. And so this point, I think, is extremely foundational when it comes to money, because if we get this one messed up, if we mess up the priorities of what's most important here, it will have a direct impact on how we handle our money and whether we're going to do it in a godly way or whether we're going to do it in an ungodly way. And so the value of knowing and walking with God and experiencing His grace cannot be replaced by any amount of money. Now, let's go to the next one, Proverbs 19, verse 1. Better is a poor person who walks in his integrity than one who is crooked in speech and is a fool. Some says something very similar in chapter 28, verse 6, where it says, better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than a rich man who is crooked in his ways. Okay, so in other words, your character, your integrity, your good reputation is always more important than how much money you have. Proverbs 22, verse 1 says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. Okay, and again, sometimes people will try to use their money to establish a reputation, or they use their money to try to impress people. But you know what? All of that stuff is nothing but external. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 8, it says, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues with injustice. Okay, now this is not saying that it's wrong to have wealth or that we're supposed to be poor in order to be righteous. Okay, that's not the point. The point here is, or the issue is, the priority that virtue is always more important than wealth. Okay, your character, what's internal, is always more important than the external and the things that are around us or having to do with money or finances or just stuff. And so better to be poor and do the right thing than to be rich and to compromise. Moving to Proverbs 17, verse 1, it says, better is a dry morsel with quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. Chapter 15, verse 17, better is a dinner of herbs where love is when a fattened or where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it. Now, those of us that aren't really crazy about vegetables might really struggle with that one, all right? Especially, you know, the cauliflower, all that stuff. But anyway, but the point is this, having a loving, caring, close family that really cares and loves each other is a whole lot more important than how much money we have as a family. And if there's one thing that can actually ruin the relationships of a family, it's money. And I would just say, go to any attorney that puts estates together, that puts wills together, and I'll tell you what, they'll have a whole file of stories for you regarding all of the friction and all of the problems and all of the fighting going on amongst families because of who's getting what and how much and all of that other stuff. It's huge. Money can create some significant problems. But having a healthy, loving family is so much more important than those things. Now, one thing to notice about all of the verses that I've just given you is that they're all verses of contrast. Proverbs does that a lot. And the way it does it in these verses, if you didn't notice it already, it says in every one of those verses is better is. Okay, it's helping us see what's most important. It's helping us see what the priorities are in life. And there are a lot more things that are more important than money. Your relationship with God, right? Your integrity. Your righteousness, living righteously, and having loving relationships. Okay, all of those things are so much more important than money. And again, you can buy a lot of different things with money, but it cannot buy the things that are most important. And therefore, we need to be sure that we do not lose the things that money cannot buy. Now, let me move to Proverbs 21, verse 17. It says, "Whoever loves pleasure will be a poor man, for he loves wine and oil," or "he who loves wine and oil will not be rich." And the idea here is that the pursuit of pleasure and the pursuit of a luxurious lifestyle when you don't have the money to do those things will bring you to ruin. And we'll talk about the whole debt thing here in a moment, but just in summary of this first point, the main goal in our life is not to attain wealth or to become a rich person. That is not the goal. The goal in our lives as believers is to become godly. Okay, so money should not define who we are. Money shouldn't define our success. And that's just so opposite, isn't it, as to how the world thinks. And so easy sometimes for us to be trapped in that as well. And so we have to ask ourselves, do we really believe that these things that Proverbs is telling us are more important than money? Do we really believe that? Do we emphasize character over wealth, godliness over riches with our kids and with our grandkids? Are we more thrilled about them making lots of money or that they love the Lord and are committed to following Him, even if it means not having as much as some other people? Sometimes we have to ask ourselves those questions, don't we? Because sometimes it's easy to go those places. Well, that's wisdom's perspective on money. Let's move secondly to wisdom's warning about money. Wisdom's warning about money, and there's a number of them. But let me begin by reading a passage out of 1 Timothy chapter 6, which I think sets up the foundation of what I'm going to mention here. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 6, it says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. For those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." Okay, so now, let's just be clear here that money in itself is not an evil thing. Money and our material things are actually a gift from God. Where money becomes a problem is when we lose God's perspective of money, when we start losing the priority of how we should be thinking based on what we were just talking about here in the first point. Where money becomes the problem is when we love money more than God. Because then when we do that, it begins to crack the door open to all kinds of problems and all kinds of sins. As 1 Timothy says, it becomes the root of all kinds of evils. And Solomon addresses a number of those in the book of Proverbs. There's three, I think, that stand out very clearly. The first being false security. False security. Proverbs 11:28. It says, "Whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf." So one of the great dangers or one of the great temptations of having money is to think that if we have more money or the more money we have, the more secure we will be. And as a result of that, we become more dependent on the gift of money that we have versus the giver of the money. In other words, the more that we have in our ability to get what we want, the easier it is to find our security in our wealth and to find our security in God. But the warning here is, if we trust our riches and if we put our security in our riches, it says the end result is we will fall. Well, why will we fall? Because money can't buy you the things you need the most. They can't buy you a relationship with God. They can't make you right. Money can't make you right with God. Money can't buy happiness. It can't buy peace. Money can't buy contentment. Money can't buy eternal hope. Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5. Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist or abstain. Verse 5, when your eyes light on it, it is gone, for suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle toward heaven. I mean, what a vivid picture of how temporary our stuff is. Next time you go to the store, next time you go to the car lot and you buy the car you've been saving for, whatever item that you've been looking forward to for a very long time, and you get that thing, remember this verse, all right? Remember, whatever it is you have is eventually going to sprout wings and it's just going to fly off into the sunset, all right? That'll just help you remember how temporary whatever it is you're going to buy. Those things don't last. And if, and I guess our conclusion here has to be that if things are so temporary, then we need to be careful that we don't put our hope and security in those things. Because you might have lots of money, but what happens when you lose your health? What good is your money then? I have a great retirement, but what happens when the market crashes? Is your money going to give you security at that point? Proverbs 11, verse 4 says, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. In other words, when you and I die one day, our money will do absolutely nothing for us. It will accomplish nothing because you can't take it with you, right? And so better to know where you're going to spend eternity than where you're going to spend your next dollar. And therefore, our security, listen, brothers and sisters, our security needs to be in the Lord. The second warning that we have in Proverbs has to do with the issue of greed. Greed is the selfish desire of always wanting more. Proverbs 1, verse 19 says, such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. As I read that verse, I couldn't help but think of the words Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, that says, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? See, when you love money, you never have enough money. Never forget that. When you love money, you'll never have enough money. I was reading an article this week, and they were referring to a recent study that said nearly 60% of investors who score high on the love of money scale, I'd be kind of, what's the love of money scale? I'm not exactly sure what that is or how they scored that. But in any case, it just 60% of those investors who scored high on the scale had bad financial outcomes. And the reason they had bad financial outcomes is because they were greedy. There was never, they just can't get enough. And that greediness obviously leads to crazy, foolish decisions. Proverbs 15, verse 27. Whoever is greedy for unjust gain troubles his own household, but he who hates bribes will live. Proverbs 28, 20. A faithful man will abound with blessing, but whoever hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. Listen, if your goal in life is about getting rich, but being wealthy, Proverbs says, watch out. Watch out, because you're not going to be happier. What you're actually going to find is you're going to have end up having more problems than ever, if that is your goal in life. John Rockefeller, the multimillionaire from a very long time ago, said, I have made many millions, but they have brought me no happiness. Henry Ford said, I was happier when doing a mechanic's job. Yeah. And so the issue here is really one of contentment. You say, well, if I had more, I'd be more content. No, you wouldn't. Now, contentment has absolutely nothing to do with how much you have. Contentment has everything to do with being satisfied and thankful no matter how much you have, whether it is a little or whether it is a lot. Okay, so we have a warning here about false security. We have a warning about greed, and there's also the warning when it comes to arrogance. Money can tempt us to be an arrogant people. Proverbs 18, verse 23. The poor use entreaties, but the rich answer roughly. Okay, for some people, money can make them feel more powerful. Or money can make them feel that they're just better than other people. And so they treat people that way. They treat people roughly, as the verse says. Proverbs 28, verse 11 says, a rich man is wise in his own eyes, okay? I have more money, therefore I know more about everything than you do, okay? That's what the verse is saying. But a poor man who has understanding will find him out. Okay, so those are the warnings when it comes to our money, okay? False security, greed, arrogance. Let's move to the third point, which is wisdom's way to obtain money. Now, there's really four ways of obtaining money. You can steal it, which I don't advise. You can borrow it. You can receive it from someone else, or you can work for it. Now, we'll look at all of those here in just a second, but let me just give one other important principle that I think needs to be made mention here, because I think it's easy for us in our culture today to have the mentality of I want to be rich and I want to be rich right now, and which gets us sucked into these get-quick-rich schemes or promises, and I'll tell you what, there's tons of that kind of stuff out there that are trying to get us to bite their bait. And Proverbs actually warns us about that. Here it is, Proverbs 21, verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance. Okay, so the plans of the diligent, this would be somebody that probably budgets their money, plans ahead, saves their money, is a wise person, okay? But everyone, the proverb goes on here, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. Now, there's a lot of roads that I could go down regarding how hasty we may be with some things, but let me just use one example. Let's talk about the lottery, which is really a form of gambling. A lot of people today are really hoping to win the big one so that all their troubles will go away. In fact, people spend $73 billion a year trying to do that. Now, first of all, the odds of winning aren't real good. You know, the odds of winning the big one, here it is, 1 in 175 million. Okay, those are your odds. Not very good odds. In fact, you have a better chance of getting struck by lightning. A much better chance of getting struck by lightning, which is, and I looked it up, it's 1 in 700,000. All right? Okay, most of us don't think we're going to get struck by lightning. So just think of that in regard to, you know, I'm going to win the big one tomorrow. But here's what's so interesting, and it really proves the point that if wisdom does not accompany your money, it doesn't matter how much money you have. Because listen to this, 70% of lottery winners go broke within 5 years of winning it all. One third of lottery winners eventually declare bankruptcy. What does that tell you? It's really an example of greed. It's people that don't know how to handle their money to begin with. Proverbs 13, verse 11 says, "Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it." Such wisdom. Let's look at the ways we can obtain money. Okay, let's go back to the stealing one. Proverbs does not endorse that, okay? I'm just telling you. Listen to the verse. Don't just listen to me. Listen to the verse. Proverbs 20, verse 17. "Bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be full of gravel." Proverbs 28, verse 24. "Whoever robs his father or his mother and says, 'That is no transgression,' in other words, it's no big deal, is a companion to a man who destroys." All right, so stealing and taking advantage of people for personal financial gain, and there's a lot of ways we do that. I'm not talking about just going to the corner store and taking something that's not yours. There's so many ways people can take advantage of each other. Within the business world, it happens all the time. And so that is not a way in which we're to gain our money or to obtain money, which has become all too common, and God says that approach will always backfire. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28 says, "Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor." And we'll get to that here in just a second. The second way we can obtain money is receiving it from someone else. Of course, it comes in many different forms. We've all probably received gifts from people, individual gifts from people, for maybe a time when we were in need or when we had a special occasion and someone gave us something. But there's one particular area that we're given caution on here as it relates to receiving money, and that is having to do with an inheritance. You say, well, what's the caution with an inheritance? Well, here's what the verse says. It's Proverbs 20, verse 21. It says, "An inheritance gained hastily in the beginning will not be blessed in the end." This is kind of an interesting verse. Now, some people leave inheritances, some people don't leave inheritances, and I'm not about to debate whether you should or you shouldn't do that. But what I want to say is to those of you that are going to be on the receiving end of an inheritance, some of you may not be. But in either case, if you receive an inheritance, whatever that may look like, you need to remember this. You don't deserve a dime of that inheritance. It's not like you did anything to earn that. Somebody else earned that money, and they've graciously decided that I'm going to have you or this individual to receive some of this money as an inheritance when I'm gone. So I say this because I think this whole entitlement mentality that's developed within our culture today is such a dangerous thing to somehow think, you know, I haven't done anything for this money, but I deserve it. No, you don't. Nobody deserves anything. And if somebody graciously decides to give us something, okay, well, you know, we can be thankful for that. And if we are on the receiving end of money like that, it is really important that we apply the principles of God's word to that, because we may not know how to handle that very well, and we may make some pretty foolish decisions. And if you're on the giving end of an inheritance, you got to think some of that through too, that you don't end up causing some long-term collateral damage down the road either. And again, I don't have all the answers to exactly how you're supposed to do that, but we just need to think some of that through because of what money can do and some of the problems it can create. The third area we can get obtain money is through borrowing. Proverbs 22, verse 7, the rich, it says, rules over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender. I think it's safe to say that as a general rule, many people believe that they can borrow money to have whatever they want right now. It's so easy. All I have to do is pull out my wallet and pull out this little plastic card and lay it down, swipe it through, and I have exactly what I want. The problem is so often we're foolishly spending money that we actually don't have. And that's not how wisdom directs us. See, today the average household credit card debt is $8,400. And if you think about that, $8,400, which means that these people are, on average, are not paying their bills on a monthly basis, and then with that, they're paying 20 to 25% interest every month. Well, that's actually foolish, because we're spending money we don't have. And we're getting ourselves into a worse situation, and we're just spiraling down and making it more difficult for ourselves. Overall, consumer debt in this country is almost $14 trillion. That's like astronomical. Now, to say all of that is not to say that all debt is sinful, wrong, foolish. There's times where we may need to get into debt. As far as purchasing a home and some of those things. But we need to do that carefully. But on the other side of it, there's a lot of debt people are getting into that is enslaving them and is so unnecessary. And I think one thing that would just be helpful for people as a whole, and I find that this has to become a major topic of conversation in premarital counseling, is we need to have a budget. If you use a credit card and you don't have a budget, you're cooked. You're cooked, because all you're going to do is you're just going to keep spending money because you don't know where it's going. You're not tracking how much money you have and comparing your income to your spending. See, what a budget does is all that tells you, and a budget's not some magical thing, but what a budget does when you set limits, when you know what your income is versus what your expenditures are, it's just helping you make wise decisions with the money that you have. Should I get this? Well, let's see. How much money do I have left in that area to help me make my decision as to whether I should actually make that purchase? All right, this isn't the Dave Ramsey financial seminar here. Let's move on to the next point. Proverbs endorses working as the main source of getting income. Proverbs 10, verse 4. A slack hand causes poverty. It's referring to laziness. But the hand of the diligent makes rich. Okay, case in point, God blesses work and he blesses diligence. Proverbs 12, verse 11. Whoever works his hand will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense. Well, we could go down that road for a while. So God's primary way of obtaining money, which we need to live, is to work for it. Work hard for it. Proverbs 12:24, the hand of the diligent will rule, while a slothful will be put to forced labor. So let's move on to the fourth point. Because the question is now, how do I manage my money? And that is the fourth point. Wisdom's management with money. If I have money, how should I use it? How does God want me to use my money? What are the priorities of what that should look like? Well, I would say, first of all, when it comes to our money, one thing we need to come to grips with as a Christian is that I am not the owner of my money. I am the steward of my money. And you say, well, wait a second. What do you mean? I've worked for every dime of my money that I have. Okay, that might be true, but let me ask you, who provided that job for you? And who provided your health and skill to do that job? And who can take that all away in an instant? And the answer is God. You see, God is gracious, and he provides for us in so many ways, as we heard in Matthew chapter 6. And here's what we need to know. Whatever he gives to us, we then become the stewards of that, and therefore, we are to manage our money in a way that would bring honor and glory to him, since he's the owner. Now, that's important because if you believe that everything you have is yours, then you are going to be selfish with what you have and probably at times foolish. On the other hand, if you believe that everything you have is ultimately God's, you will likely be generous and wise with what you have. So that's a pretty important point to make. So what does managing your money look like? Well, first thing I'd say is don't look at your government for an example. Look to the Word of God. Let's start there. There's three things that I want to mention here from Proverbs. The first is to provide for your family. It's one of the reasons God gives us the ability to obtain money. It is to provide for a family. Proverbs chapter 3, 23 through 27. Know well the condition of your flocks and give attention to your herds. For riches do not last forever, and does not a crown endure to all generations? When the grass is gone and the new growth appears and the vegetation of the mountains is gathered, the lambs will provide your clothing and the goats the price of a field. And here it is, verse 27. There will be enough goat's milk for your food, for the food of your household, and maintenance for your girls, or servants is the context. Okay, so God gives us money so that we can provide for our families. Yeah, that's important. Another reason God gives us money is to pay our debts. Now, we talked about that here a minute ago. And whether you've got into some foolish debt or whether you have some legitimate debt, mortgage, whatever, in any case, chapter 3, verses 27 and 28, it says, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, for when it is in your power to do it." Okay, very simply, if you owe money to somebody, pay it off. Okay, whether it's a verbal agreement that you made with somebody, or whether it's a signed document at the bank, listen, we need to follow through on that stuff. God's given us money so that we can take care of those things, and it is one of the priorities that we should have. And I think we do need to be careful that we don't somehow think that we can spend money in all these other places in our life and then somehow not make a payment at the end of the month. Because to do that and to not take care of our debts appropriately puts our integrity and our character in question as a believer. It's a testimony thing. And so we need to pay our debts. It needs to be a priority. And then the last thing, and really the biggest thing, I mean, if you're going to go through Proverbs that it talks about in regard to how we should use our money, is that we should be in a position to give. Be in a position to give. And I want to break it into two really subcategories here, because I think it's laid out that way. One is we just need to generally be generous to those in need. Now, let me just read a list of verses. There's a lot of verses that address this, and they kind of come at it from a lot of different angles. So let me just read them, and I think they'll be self-explanatory to you. Chapter 14, verse 31. Whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him. Chapter 19, verse 17, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. Chapter 21, verse 13, whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. Chapter 22, verse 9. Whoever has a bountiful eye will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor. Chapter 28, verse 17. Whoever gives to the poor will not want, but he who hides his eyes will get many a curse. Chapter 29, verse 7. A righteous man knows the rights of the poor. A wicked man does not understand such knowledge. Okay, it's a pretty big theme. Now, I think the great challenge in that point is this, is who is the poor? Who are these people? Because I think you and I know, and I think we wrestle with this a lot of times, is, I mean, there's so many scammers, there's so many people that are trying to rip us off, there's so many people that want money that don't need money, and so it's hard. And I find it difficult sometimes to discern that as like, okay, so who should I help, who should I not help? What is the answer? Well, I'm gonna deflect this answer in saying, I think the best way to figure that out is to just ask the Lord and say, God, point the people out. Make it clear to me where these needs are. Help me see the people that have needs and help me to be sensitive to those needs and help me know how to give to those needs. Because you know what? God knows where the real needs are, right? I have a hard time figuring that out sometimes, but God knows where those real needs are. So let's walk with the Lord and be sensitive to His Spirit as it relates to what that looks like. The other part of giving, then, is the idea of being generous so that we honor the Lord and that we honor His work. Now, that's not saying that it doesn't include those that are in need that we just talked about, but this principle is much broader than that, okay? And that comes from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. And it says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all of your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Okay, so the question with this one is, how much then should I give? Should it be 10%? I get this question from people at times, and my answer is, okay, well, that's a tithe. That means a tenth, and we get this idea of tithing from the Old Testament. That was an Old Testament command, and I would say, okay, the tithe is a great place to start. It's a great place to start. But if you move over to the New Testament, one of the things that you'll find is that there's no mention of a tithe. There's no amount that's given. What you find in the New Testament is the emphasis is on the principle of being generous and the principle of giving with joy. That's all you find. Okay? So again, I would say to you, if you're trying to figure out how much you should give, then I'd say, be sensitive to the Spirit of God in your life as it relates to this question, okay? And one thing I'll just tell you right now is the Holy Spirit is not stingy, He is generous. But He also blesses generosity. And so we need to be sensitive to that. As God has blessed you with money, and again, it's not about the amount of money. I mean, think about the widow's mite, right? In the gospel, it's not about the amount of money. It's about being obedient to what God calls us to do, no matter what, whether we're poor or whether we're rich. Now, I think one thing to remember that maybe is helpful in all of this is that you can't take your money with you, but you can send it on ahead. Invest in eternal things for the glory of God. And also note here, from this verse that it shouldn't be the last thing that you do, it should be the first thing that you do. Okay, that should be a priority for us. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all of your produce. Okay, so, you know, giving to the Lord and His work shouldn't be an afterthought. It shouldn't be, okay, if I have anything left, I'll give it to the Lord. If that's your mentality, you're probably not going to do anything at all. But the priority should be, hey, we want to invest in eternal things. That should be the number one thing right off the top. And beyond that, God will help us take care of the other needs in our life as well. All right, man, we've gone through a lot of verses this morning. Thanks for keeping up with me. But there's a lot to say about money, isn't there? And it's an important subject, I think, for all of us. And it's an important area that we glorify God in with our lives. It's huge. But hang on, before we go, I have a few more verses, okay, as we wrap this up. Proverbs chapter 30. These are kind of my favorites out of all the ones that I've given you this morning. I think these would be my favorites because it's just balanced, just has such a good perspective in how we need to look at our money. The writer says, two things I ask of you. Deny them not to me before I die. Remove from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? In other words, he's saying, God, don't make me so rich that I forget about you and that I somehow trust my riches more than you. What a great wise thing. But then he goes on to say, or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. He says, God, don't make me so poor that I do something stupid and foolish and try to steal my money when I know I should be depending on you as well. Just good perspective. And I don't know what your perspective is this morning or how concerned you may be, whether you fall into the poor category or the rich category, but I have to tell you that God isn't concerned about those categories. Proverbs 22, verse 2 says that the rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. Which tells me that the most important thing to God is not whether you are rich or whether you're poor. What is important is asking ourselves where we fall in the categories of being godly or ungodly. Because godliness is more important than whether we're rich or we're poor. Maybe you have a lot. Maybe you have a little. Honestly, that really doesn't make a big difference. But I would say, here's what we have in common. If we're a Christian, we're wealthy. If you're a Christian, you're blessed. Because you and I are wealthy no matter how much we have in our bank accounts or no matter what our retirement fund might look like. See, because that stuff is not the true wealth. Being a recipient of God's grace and forgiveness is true wealth. Having salvation and a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and having the Holy Spirit dwell within me is true wealth. Having an eternal hope when I die is true wealth. Having the body of Christ and having a loving family is true wealth. Sometimes we forget that, don't we? Sometimes we forget that the things of this earth are not as valuable and as important as we sometimes think they are. Proverbs 10, verse 22 says that the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. And some people, it's really interesting, some people will take this verse and say, hey, this verse proves that God wants all of us to be rich. You know, the health and wealth gospel stuff. And you know what? That verse has nothing to say about that at all. Because notice it has nothing to say about money in the context of what it says here. The point is, our spiritual bank account is where true wealth lies. An account where Jesus not only paid in full the debt of my sin, but on top of that, he put into my account his righteousness. Double bonus. He took my debt and then he gave all of that to me. There is no greater gift than that. There is no greater wealth than the salvation that God gives us through what Christ did for us on the cross. And in light of that, may that give us perspective of the temporary wealth and things that we have in this world so that God would help us to use those things in a way that would be honoring and glorifying to him so that we can use that stuff in a way that is biblical and will further his kingdom, right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today, and we thank